This is North Shore Today for Monday. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell.
And I'm Rick Moore.
And in today's program, well, we didn't get that big, big storm, but we got a little more than we expected, I guess.
And in Gloucester, no foul play is suspected in the death of a missing woman.
All right, welcome to our program today as we discuss some of the news of the day. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore, as we mentioned, and it's a Monday here, and the sun is out, the skies are clear, and Rick, we just to let folks know, we have a couple of videos posted on the post this morning, and they are couple of pretty good ones. One is from Seth Meyers from his show, and it's called, it's supposed to be like a takeoff of a movie trailer, of promoting a movie, but the movie is called Boston Accent, and it's I think it's been making the circulated around a lot, you know, on the Facebooks and all those different places. So it's a pretty popular video. Check it out on the website. And the other one is an action video. Actually, my brother, who's down in New York City, sent this one out. But it's snowboarding in New York City. I don't think it was done over there. I'm not sure when it was done. But it's if you want the action, there it is. A little action video. Snowboarding in New York City. So something you don't really expect there. And again, a little excitement, I guess, over the weekend. We got a little bit more snow than the 1 inch that they were forecasting for us. So that's all right as well. So nice little white stuff out there, and but not too much.
Yeah, and the sun is out despite the fact that the Patriots played so bad yesterday and lost. But the sun is out. It's a new day. And they gave us a good season, Bill. It was fun. The what-ifs, though, are going to be all over the place. And everybody was bemoaning the fact that Gostkowski missed the extra point, and I'm just looking at all the failed attempts they had, the Patriots had inside the 30-yard line. So I don't think you can blame this one on Gostkowski. People are going to, but I don't think you should.
No, not at all. And it's funny. I had a thought this week about extra points and field goals and how flawless, I think I jinxed them, how flawless this has been for the Patriots and you know, for years now. I mean, that ball has to be snapped. It has to be set correctly, and you don't have a lot of I mean, it's a split second bang bang process, and you got to get it right every time, and you can't be off. And it's an amazing thing how often it goes successfully. They are professionals, I get it, but on the other hand, you know, they're human beings. So it was too bad, and you know, they had it. That was 8 points. Kind of a crazy game, too. And they just didn't give Brady the time that he needed. And, you know, I thought they were going to make corrections at the half. It seemed like they might have made a few corrections, but it just didn't work out. It's kind of a discouraging end of the season to lose to Peyton Manning and the Broncos. And I don't know. I think the Broncos may get crushed in the Super Bowl, but that's just my
opinion. Yeah, it looks that way. But I think the football gods wanted Manning back in. And you know what I said before the game to my wife? I said, boy, there are two names you don't want to hear. DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. And that's all we heard all night long. So, you know, but it's a new day, and let's hope that they draft, some offensive linemen in the next draft.
And a couple of notes here are some other posts that we have up on the website. We have an interview that we did with Gavin Softick. He is the new baseball coach at Salem High School. Talked to him Friday night over in Marblehead. He's an assistant basketball coach in Marblehead. And also we have a feature up there on the Lynn English High boys basketball team. It was thought that this year was going to be a rebuilding year for the league champs the last 2 years, but they lost a lot of players off of last year's team. But here they are, tied for first place as they're now into the second half of the season, and the second half of their schedule will be coming up. It's a tough schedule, obviously, and they're out of league now. They're playing in the NEC Small, I guess, for at least one more game here this week, and then I think they jump back into it on Friday. So anyways, we have a post up on the Lynn English High boys basketball team, and we'll be doing some other things this week as well. And do email us at our email address, which is msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. And in just a moment, we'll run the interview with Meredith Fine, the attorney who was on Josh Arnold's Trending Now on Thursday, that interview. So, and in the news, Rick, what do you got going on?
Well, there's an article by Ray Lamont in the Gloucester Times concerning the death of 56-year-old Susan Nilsen, who was found off in Gloucester Harbor on December 19. It says the Essex County District Attorney's Office has closed its investigation into the December death of a Rockport woman whose body was found by her sons along the Gloucester waterfront, even as the state medical examiner's office is looking to pinpoint the cause and manner of her death. So they're declaring no foul play. And yet, there's no report yet from the medical examiner as to the actual cause of death. So that's kind of weird, the fact that they would, you know, declare one but not know the other. And then the other thing I'd like to mention quickly here is that I saw on Facebook today a post. I don't know who posted it, but sometime within the last week or so, and it may even be today, but recently in the New York Times, there's a big, big article on Gloucester Police Chief Leonard Campanello and the Angel Program. And if you're not sure about what's going on or you need a really excellent, in-depth summary of what's been happening, read that article in the New York Times. Fantastic job. Well done. And it pinpoints and spotlights the Angel Program and how Chief Campanello has spearheaded this thing.
All right. That sounds good. And I know in the front page of the item today, there's a couple of stories. One, I didn't realize the there's a search. Marblehead High School is searching for a new principal as well. I didn't realize that. They're hoping to have one in place by the end of March, or at least naming one by the end of March. And Swampscott, and maybe that's the piece. Maybe it's maybe just naming it by appoint a new principal by the end of March is their plan. And also in Swampscott, of course, they have an interim principal at the high school from a story, as you know, from a few weeks ago. But middle school principal Robert Murphy, Bob Murphy, wants to align middle school and high school schedules to maximize offerings between the two schools. He highlighted the importance of English and mathematics curriculum at the middle school and said the middle school also continues to roll out a social-emotional curriculum and that supports the growth of student support groups. And that sounds like a good idea as well. It seems like there needs to be a lot of alignment with middle schools up to high schools. And I don't think a lot of districts do that particularly well. So a little shout out and a salute to Principal Murphy from the Swampscott Middle School for his efforts to try to coordinate a little bit.
Well, just in my opinion, a little editorial here, Bill. I hope it's top down instead of bottom up because, you know, we went through a crisis in Gloucester many, many years ago where a certain administrator was trying to push the middle school philosophy and programming into the high school. And in fact, you know, you want to get the middle school kids ready for the high school. So now it's a really strong symbiotic relationship between the O'Malley School and the Gloucester High School. So we wish them well. Good luck in all school systems in trying to do that, because if you can do it, then it's the kids who benefit for sure.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll hear from Meredith Fine, and when we come back, we'll do a check on sports. So stay with us here on North Shore Today, MSONewsSports.com. Again, here's Meredith Fine with Josh Arnold on Trending Now from last Thursday. All right, welcome back to North Shore Today. Bill Newell and Rick Moore here, and in sports. Rick, what a thrill it must have been. Unfortunately, it was during the Patriots game, but the St. Mary's girls basketball team got to play at TD Garden yesterday. They're playing some high school games down there. They beat Lexington 55-42. And I think also the Newburyport and Triton teams also played down there yesterday. I think they had the following game, which the Newburyport boys won. So they're somehow or other, they're sneaking in some high school games into these venues when the Celtics or Bruins or whatever are not playing, and it's not the bean pot or whatever. So there you go.
Well, again, I have an interview posted with Newburyport Athletic Director Kyle Hodson, and he explains that whole deal as to why the Newburyport and other Cape Ann League teams were playing at the Garden yesterday. So good job, Mom, for both St. Mary's and Newburyport.
Also, we have a post up there, two posts actually, for the Moynihan Lumber Student Athletes of the Month. They were announced over the weekend, and congratulations go out to Sydney Christopher from Manchester Essex Regional High School, a 1,000-point scorer at the high school in basketball. And the male winner was Justin Lewis from Lynn Tech. We have he's a basketball player himself, and again, we have those posts, those interviews up on our website from the weekend. So congratulations and a shout-out to those.
Okay, we're not going to have North Shore Sports Night tonight, excuse me, but as you can tell, once again, fighting the cold, and that's why I couldn't do a game Saturday, but we're going to try to do the game tonight from Salem State at 7:30, Winthrop at Marblehead in Northeast Conference Hockey, and that Marblehead is unbeaten this year, and Winthrop's, you know, playing well at times, doing really well, so it should be a great game, 7:30, and just, excuse me, tune out my cough.
Meredith, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Josh. It's great to be back.
Well, just kind of a refresher, although I know your background, but tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll segue into the good work you're doing in the community with the library.
Well, thank you. I came to Gloucester as the editor of the Gloucester Daily Times many years ago, and then went to law school, and have a practice here in Gloucester. And I am president of the library board and chair of the licensing board.
Ah, well, yeah, I forgot about that one. So let's go to the library. We could talk about the licensing piece in a bit if we have time. What is involved in being on the board and being president, and what functions do you perform? And tell us about what the library is.
Well, that's a very interesting question, Josh, more interesting than many people may know, because the library is actually a corporation. It's a separate, independent corporation set up by the legislature, I want to say back in the 70s.
Okay.
And part of our budget is funded by the city. So our staff is paid by the city and their city employees, and city funds pay for some of our books and materials, but not all. But it's a weird little hybrid. My understanding is there are only 10 like it in the state.
Hmm.
And the board is a separate board. It's not appointed by the city. We have corporators who appoint our board members. We have our own bylaws. And we are an independent public agency. And so I am the president of a corporation, and I also supervise, not directly, but in a general sense, 15 or 16 city employees. And I'm fortunate to have just an absolutely fantastic board and fantastic library director. And I have no problem delegating.
Yeah.
And so they do a great job.
What is the long range? I mean, I know the Sawyer Free Library was donated by Samuel Sawyer.
Yep.
And he's also the person who left money for the Sawyer Medals.
Yep, among other things. I think he also left Ravenswood Park.
Yes.
Think his footprint in Gloucester is large.
Yes. So it's grown over the years. I remember the library I went to as a kid, and then they added the addition, and they've done a lot. But libraries in general are changing because of technology and reading habits. How do those factors play into?
No, that is a fantastic question, because so many people say to me, "Who uses libraries anymore?" Well, I'll tell you, our usage is going up. If I could change the word library to Sawyer-Free Information and Community Center, I think that would better describe the role that the library plays here. People need computers. We have free DVDs, all kinds of games, and all kinds of access to the physical library is only part of what we do. We have a very, very active internet presence and access to all kinds of resources on the web through your local library. And we also do a lot of, we still have books and love books and lend them. And Gloucester residents can get books from all over this part of the state through our interlibrary loan, which is very, very actively used. Every day, the interlibrary loan truck backs up with another load of books to be loaned out. We have all kinds of programs. Our children's room is constantly busy with activities and concerts and storytelling and magic and movies and all that great stuff. It's the most used public building in the city.
That's great.
It is.
It is.
Now,
it
leads to some interesting problems, because the building itself needs to be substantially renovated for the 21st century library. And that's the biggest thing. One of the biggest things we're working on now is how to upgrade the interior of the building.
Hmm. Great. What are some of the other long-range things that are, on the radar for the library?
Well, that's a great question. The physical plant is dominating our thinking at the moment. We have a number of short-term issues, medium-term issues, and long-term issues. And that's tied into our strategic plan. which is how to keep this institution relevant into the 21st century. And that, to answer that mission of how to remain relevant and serve the public, you need to know what the public wants today, what the public is going to want tomorrow, and how we can provide those services in our through our physical plant, through our internet resources, and with the staff that we have. And so just that process, we're continually trying to answer that question. What do people want today? And what are people going to want 10 years, 20 years from now?
How much of the location of the library is key to its success? I know that, you know, there was a point, there are periods of time where we've talked about moving City Hall to the Fuller School and all of that, and I won't get going on too much of a tangent on that, but I know that there were issues when that was raised about why it's important to have City Hall on Dale Avenue, because a lot of people can access it that way.
Since we built a new parking lot in the back, the access has gotten better. That's a fantastic question. These are great questions, Josh. That's true that a few years ago, before I got on the board did do a study and determined that they did not want to move from the central government area. This question has arisen again as we start to look at how best to use the space that we have. Should we be looking elsewhere? I think that's a question that we should ask. My own, without prejudging the answer, my own preference would be to stay in the heart of the city.
It's you have a. I mean, that's where it's always been, and I hate to say that that's. That should be a driving force in it, but there's a product familiarity that permeates the community that's where the library is. And I know that as things change, you know, the YMCA is across the street, and the YMCA needs parking, and they may end up in the Fuller property and all of that. I'm wondering if as those kinds of things fold out, if those provide any other opportunities for the library. And
you're making an excellent point. There's a lot of activity going on in that on that corner of Middle Street, Dale Avenue. I don't feel any great appetite to move. But I think that as a board, we need to make sure that we answer even the uncomfortable questions. And a lot of that has to do with, can we be a 21st century library where we are now?
Yeah.
Again, without prejudging the answer and without being an expert in library science, I would hope that we could. But we have a responsibility to at least ask the question.
Well, that's great. Tell us a little bit about your work with the licensing board. What does that involve?
Well, the funny thing about that, Josh, is that I don't drink. So it's kind of a weird place for me to have landed.
Yeah.
So the library board, the licensing board is a child of prohibition. Back in the 30s, when there were bootleggers and so forth, the state legislature created a scheme of managing liquor licenses to reduce corruption and to limit the amount of alcohol. Those were different times.
Yeah.
And so in cities, in towns, the licensing board is usually the Board of Selectmen.
Okay.
Here in the city, we, by statute, we have a 3-member board. One member must be a Democrat. One member must be a Republican. And then the third member can be of either party or no party.
Okay.
That's in the statute.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Does it
say that one has to be dry and or?
I'm the designated Democrat on the board. I had the great honor of following Michelle Harrison, who was chair twice, once about 15 years ago, and then came back a few years ago, and she did a magnificent job. They always like the chair to be an attorney, because although the law on liquor licenses is not especially complicated, you are serving sometimes a judicial function. And so...
Tell me about that. Explain that a little better, because I'm guessing a lot of the listening audience doesn't know that.
Well, a license is like a piece of property in a way. And if you're going to, for example, take it away from somebody, you'd really better know what you're doing. And you hold hearings. For example, we had a situation where a local store sold some beer to an underage person. And we had a hearing and suspended their license for 3 days. And that's a quasi-judicial function.
Okay.
And if you decide not to renew somebody's license, for example, we decided not to renew the license at the tavern, you have a hearing. And so the chair needs to be somebody who knows how to run a hearing and who knows how to write a decision.
Okay.
And because those decisions, you often get appealed. And so that's why they like to have an attorney sitting in.
All right, we'll tune out the cough. All right, so that game, were you going to say more or what there?
No.
Oh, okay,
no, that's
I thought
it.
You were going to say I'm... more. Okay.
No, I just took a swig of hot coffee trying to soothe the throat. I don't know what this is, Bill, but when I was teaching, I only had one or two of these per year. This is the third cold in 3 months. It's getting a little annoying.
Yeah, and we'll let folks know about our high school basketball broadcast probably coming up tomorrow night. Might be a girls' game, so we'll let you know about that as well. So again, it's Winthrop Marblehead hockey tonight, 7:30 from Salem State. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, and a special thanks again to Josh Arnold and his guest Meredith Fine here on North Shore today on MSONewsSports.com.